At Quite the Thing Media, we aim to bring you the best podcasts produced by independent creators, made without constraints.
Podcast Father here. Join me on my journey as I start out as the indie podcaster.
You've been searching for a podcast. Want to know about some great artist? Yeah. You've come to the right place. Indie Podcaster. With your host, the podcast father.
Welcome to Indie Podcaster. We have made it to yet another episode. I'm your host, Jeff, aka the podcast father. Joining me today is he has been kind of like a temporary, like an intern. I'm going to call him my intern. It's Mike Sago.
That doesn't sound nearly as cool as it could.
Okay.
I feel like maybe pinch hitter. That's kind of better.
I'm just going to call you my friend. Does that work? That's.
I like that. That's good.
Good. We'll go with that. My friend, Mike Zago.
There it is. Yeah. What's up?
The Link, a podcast with Mike Zago.
That's right. You guys should listen to it. It's very cool. 20 or so episodes so far, and we're going strong. Check it out.
He talks about all the different girlfriends he's had over the years. All two of them. Both of them.
Sometimes they come up, sometimes they don't. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Seriously, though, check out Mike's podcast. But today...
Yeah, it's real silly. It's real silly.
It is silly. Silly. You're a silly goose, Mike. I'll tell you what.
Duck, duck, goose.
Exactly. You probably play that on your podcast. Anyway.
Still play it, yeah.
Let's go ahead and talk about who we're going to highlight today, who I interviewed. She Will Rock You Pod, Leah and Beth Ann. They are, I want to say, in our... indie podcast community on Twitter. Would you call that appropriate for me to say that?
Oh yeah.
And this is they are very creative, and one thing that they do is incredible, and we talk about it in this interview. They really highlight and celebrate women's success in rock and roll, sometimes the things that have been overlooked in history, because everybody knows everybody has their own way of writing history, and they make sure to go back and highlight the great thing women have done in rock and roll.
I love it. I have so much to say about them. I'm a fan. Rock and roll is not dead, and it says it in their Twitter bio, which is cool. Big music fan. Queen is maybe my favorite band ever, so the She Will Rock You moniker, I'm into it. I just love this pod for all those reasons. They're good with it. And rock and roll is not dead. There's just more other genres than there have been before, so it can get buried a little bit, and your percentage of the pie might be smaller. But that's just because there's more things out there and more content for everybody. So I hate when people say that because it's not true.
I agree. And for now on, we will refer to you as the Queen, Mike Sago.
That's right. I like that too. That's good. Gender norms, get out of here.
But Mike, you bring up a great thing. And I think you listeners will enjoy this interview, because I certainly enjoyed interviewing them. Don't be afraid to support independent artists, indie podcasters. And make sure you stay tuned and stay on this episode, because it's a great interview. But before we start, I'm going to take care of a little business. Myself and this podcast are proud members of Quite the Thing Media. Make sure you're checking out Quite the Thing Media. Go to quitethethingmedia.com. If you want to go to my personal site, it's actually at Quite the Thing Media, quitethethingmedia.com/podcastfather. There you can request to be on this podcast as a guest. Also, a review from me on site. Make sure you're checking out all the great original podcasts on site and the independent creators on site. QuiteTheThingMedia.com. Couldn't do this podcast without the hosting platform, Captivate FM. Captivate FM is great, guys. I can't tell you how great it is. I could talk about it all day, but I will tell you one thing. For me, as a new podcaster, it's amazing. There's all sorts of tools, growth labs, etc. The team is so hands-on at Captivate FM. They will help you through your journey. The interface and the features are amazing. You got to check it out. If you're a podcaster or content creator, you want to distribute your stuff, go to CaptivateFM.com. They'll go ahead and give you 7 free days off the bat. But I'll tell you what, if you go to my Quite the Thing Media page, quitethethingmedia.com/podcastfather, there at the bottom, you'll find an affiliate link. You can get 30 days of Captivate FM free. Why wouldn't you check it out? Captivate FM. This podcast is sponsored by Good Pods, my great friends at Good Pods. This is an amazing app, guys. You get on there, you see what podcasts your friends and influencers are listening to. Download the Good Pods app. All the music on this podcast is from the artist Young Karts. Young Karts, he's a great independent artist. You got to check out all the work. Go to the site, youngkartsbeats.com. If you want to contact me, you can find me on Twitter at podcast_father, or the podcast actually has an account too, at indie_podcaster, or good old-fashioned email, always great too, thepodcastfather@gmail.com. You want to support this podcast? One great way you can do for me is you can go onto your favorite podcast listening platform, may that be an Apple or Good Pods, and give me a rating. Throw me a 5-star. Type some nice things to me. If you don't even want to type, don't worry about it. Just throw me some stars. Any feedback is appreciated. I really do appreciate it. If you want to get real crazy and support me, you can always buy me a coffee. Check it out on my Quite the Thing media page. That's enough for the business. Let's get to the view. I have some special guests joining me today. She Will Rock You podcast. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Podcast is awesome, honestly. So I'll give you a minute to introduce yourselves and kind of why you started the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm Leah.
And I'm Beth Ann.
And we're She Will Rock You. We met 3 years ago.
More than that now.
4 years ago. Yeah. We worked together at a marketing agency. Neither of us works there anymore. But we kept getting in trouble for talking to each other.
Yep.
And so, like, to the point where our desks had to physically be separated.
Oh, wow. They made
but like, it was like, okay. We had
like middle school, right? They had to actually separate. Okay.
We just transitioned to Slack and talked as much as we did.
That's literally what I told my manager. I was like, I feel like I'm in middle school being punished right now. And so we were like, well, we need to channel this energy somewhere. Let's do a podcast, because that's what millennials do when they have friends, apparently.
Yeah.
And so we were like, well, what are we going to do it on? And at first, like the very first iteration was a Disney podcast. And we were like, no, there's way too many of those.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't live in Florida. We live in Virginia. So
yeah,
what would we talk about?
Well, in 2006, I went to Disney for the third time.
There's a new movie coming out.
Yeah.
And so then the second one was weird news stories, because I love useless stories.
Yeah.
Like today that dog won the dog show that looks like a cloud, and it has no impact on society at all. But
it's funny, but yeah.
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 But that required way too much work and recording way too often. And so we were out with our friend Lauren, and she knows that we tell this story all the time. And there was a Fleetwood Mac cover band coming an hour away. And I said, oh, we should go see Fleetwood Mac cover band. They have like really good reviews. And Lauren just goes, who's Fleetwood Mac? And we were both like, what do you mean who's Fleetwood Mac? And so we were like, that's our podcast. It has to be rock history for people who didn't grow up with it like we did.
Yeah.
How exactly did you grow up with it, now that you say that? Is it your parents listen to it? Or, I mean, that's how my dad listened to country music, right? I mean, I'm not the biggest fan, but I remember old fashioned country music, you know? So, I mean, is that where you got it from?
Yeah, I think there's definitely, for me and for Leah too, knowing a little bit of her history, a parental influence. And, you know, I think, yeah, that's just a lot of it. It's just driving in the car. Your parents have 5 CDs, a Fleetwood Mac CD, an Elton John greatest hits, and then some other random now compilation. And that's it. Those are your choices. And it's just something, but there's something beautiful to it, because you just really learn to love these songs inside and out.
When was your first episode? Do you remember?
2 years ago, last week.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people that I've come across, because I've really got on Twitter for a little bit under 2 months, they really started during the pandemic last year. So you've been grinding this through for over 2 years now, long before the huge, when I say podcast boom, I mean people starting podcasts, right?
Yeah.
It happened last year. It was a huge increase. So you guys actually have been doing this before all that, which is interesting. How rough was the start? I mean, what's different from now from when you started? Did you guys do it in person then? And do you still do that?
Yeah. We live 6 minutes apart right now. So
cool.
It makes it really easy to just pop over and record. we have gotten better equipment mm-hmm. since we started.
It was it's a condenser mic made for like singing, like actual singing. So like we just use that. We set it up downstairs in my little basement. Echoey basement areas, pulled out some, what are those chairs called? The ones that fold.
The folding chairs.
The folding chairs. There it is.
Folding chairs. It's sweet and simple.
I only got like a couple drops of coffee today, so bear with me. But yeah, so we just threw out some folding chairs and we just recorded that way. And it was just echoey. Like I'm sure I haven't gone back to listen to it.
They are very echoey.
She has had to be around like the year mark. We got better equipment.
It was in the beginning of the pandemic because we moved upstairs. So you can see there's like couches and stuff.
Yeah.
And we did it because Beth Ann's husband was working from home in the basement. So yeah. We lost our recording space and we listened to the first one up here and we were like, that sounds way better, not echoing.
Yeah. The couches can actually absorb the echo. Why didn't we think about this?
Yeah.
That's cool. You guys, not a lot of people are doing it in person, seems like.
Yeah, for us. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I was going to say, is that important for you guys? So I think that's where you're going to go.
Yeah, I think it's very important. I think, you know, especially for those episodes where it's more scripted and there's a lot more research and intention that goes into it. While Zoom is great, it's great for interviews. There's really no, yeah. I think, conflicts there. Having someone in the room, you feed off of them a lot easier and you can read body cues a little bit better. And I think there's a lot more authenticity to it. And I think that's one of the magical moments of our podcast is we are next to each other. We're laughing. You know, you're probably like not seeing some of the like gestures that we're doing.
right.
But like there is something authentic to being around people and being together when you are recording a podcast.
One thing that I realized when I started listening to your podcast, you know, your history for rock and roll. I can tell you guys put in a lot of preparation before an episode. I mean, it you can tell. I mean, it's very evident. What's Thank that you. Like? How much time do you have to spend on that?
Pretty much as soon as we record once a month, we record like Beth Ann's episode and my episode at the same time.
Okay.
And so pretty much as soon as we wrap that one recording session, I start researching the next one for my whatever I'm choosing. So I usually have planned a month ahead who I'm doing. So I'll start doing like casual research. This is coming out in July, right? So I can say who I'm doing next.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be July. Yeah. I assume July.
For some reason, we like to keep it a secret who we're doing until the day. We don't really know why. It doesn't really matter to anyone but us. I'm doing Oasis next. And so like,
okay.
I didn't know a lot about them. So I had to start a little earlier as opposed to like Dolly Parton, who I knew a little bit more about. This month, especially, the research ahead of time has been crucial because we have so much happening. We have like 4 artist interviews in a week time span.
How'd you go about that? How'd you connect and network with the artists?
We've gotten incredibly lucky on that front.
Yeah.
We had like a couple just reach out to us on Instagram at the very, very beginning, like very small bands. But then at the beginning of the pandemic, my favorite band is The Struts. I saw that the lead singer Luke was doing just random Instagram live interviews. And I was like, you know what? The worst he can say is no. I shot him a DM and I was like, do you want to be on the show? He's like, sure, I have nothing going on like in 2 days notice. Let's do it then. And we were like, oh, okay. And so we did that over an Instagram live, which was extremely stressful because
I don't know why we did that.
Because he requested it.
Oh,
that was the reason we did it. But then once you have someone like Luke Spiller of The Struts on your roster, you can DM other artists and be like, hey, we've interviewed people such as Luke from The Struts or Diamond Rowe from Tetrarch or
Diamante
or Maggie Schneider of Glimmers, like band names that people recognize. And recently we've had some management firms start reaching out to us with like their entire roster. And they're like, here, pick who you want to interview. We're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Hard work pays off, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So you would say in recent times, you're really seeing an increase in audience or you're seeing it pay off?
Oh yeah. I'd say even in the last 2 months.
Yeah. Especially in the last 2 months.
I don't remember how we came in contact. It's Twitter, right? I mean, that for Twitter. Sure. I don't remember when or where. Obviously, I have dozens of podcasts talking to me or vice versa. But you guys definitely stand out because it's women also in rock and roll, right? Mm-hmm. Which even though there has been so many significant women in the history of rock and roll, it still seems to be something that's not highlighted, or it kind of goes unknown, maybe to, I say the normal person, but what's normal, right? It seems to be something that's undervalued though. And the episodes that I've listened to, you guys did a great job of highlighting that. And then the history of the artist as well. Was that an objective when you started, or is that just something that's happened as you've gone along?
You know, we can say, yeah, women have not, but really what it's not being highlighted in rock and roll is just minorities, including women, mm-hmm. who have trailblazed and gotten rock to where it is today. We need to keep in mind that rock was started by a Black queer woman named Sister Rosetta Tharpe. She is credited as writing the first rock and roll song. And her story is absolutely, first off, if you see a clip of this lady jamming in 1950, you thought you heard Jimmy Page. She was, I mean, like Jimmy Page from my, I think my, I'm right in saying this. I know Eric Clapton looks at her an influence, and I think Jimmy does as well, but true raw talent. And when she finally, when she passed in, I want to say in the 80s or 70s, she didn't get a tombstone on her gravesite until like someone did a crowdsource for her in the 2010s. And she did not get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame until 2017. And it wasn't even as an official inductee. It was a early influencer, which in my opinion is a little bit of a slap in the face, but you know, that's just my two cents. But that's really the story of rock and roll is minorities, especially the African-American community that has really helped pioneer this industry that has, you know, kind of been kind of swept under the rug and not talked about. We just, that is a big passion of our podcast. We need to bring diversity back and intersectionality back into rock music, because that's how it started. And we cannot forget that history.
That's awesome. That's kind of, you can tell by listening to your podcast that that's the objective. And that's that was probably a big part in how the podcast got started.
Yeah.
Rock and roll has gone through such an evolution and so many changes over the years. You mentioned Oasis, besides them being my the last song at my prom, Hell Forever, Wonderwall. Do you guys like a lot of the new stuff, or seems like you talk about a lot of the, I don't want to say older stuff, because I'm probably older than all of you, but are you big fans of the new, or is it mostly just that, you know, we just stick to the old stuff?
No, I think we're both fans of not every new artist. Like I'll say I don't enjoy Greta Van Fleet. They're fine, but they're not my favorite. But that's also just not my style of music either. But there are plenty of new artists that we've discovered just from being able to interview them or just on our own that are newer, like within the last 10 years that we really, really like. They don't make good episodes because it's like we can talk about them for 15 minutes and then we're like, okay, that's it.
Like right. I'm finally getting around to talking about a 2000s artist, and it's not even on this podcast. It's on another podcast.
Yeah.
That I'm going to be in.
For some of the newer ones, we usually do a crossover with another podcast, like our friends over at Muses. Mm-hmm. We recently did a girl groups episode with them where the four of us each chose an artist, and did like a mini episode within an episode on them.
Yeah.
So we usually can find a way to talk about a newer artist, but for our main episodes, it's a lot easier to fill an hour with a 60-year career.
Yes, it definitely is.
That's why I kind of assumed that you had some influence at home growing up, right? That introduced you to that or somewhere along the line.
Yeah, you'll notice that I cover a lot of hair bands and like 80s bands, because that's what my parents I grew up with my parents listening to, because they're a little younger. But then Beth Ann covers like Woodstock artists.
Woodstock and like 90s alternative.
That's awesome. I think that things have changed so much that maybe it's just me, but I don't hear people talking about music as much as they used to. Is that just something that I'm kind of dealing with, or do you agree with that? I don't want to say music's died, but the music industry is obviously changed with the digital age. But it seems like I don't hear people talking about it as much. I mean, is that something to do with maybe the decline of radio? I mean, what are your opinions on that?
I think it more speaks to the industry has always been about money, but because of, you know, technology and where it is today, it's, in my opinion, become even more of a money pit, so to speak. For me, it feels like there's a connection there between just things you're always hearing, because in my viewpoint, and this is a hot take, not everyone has to agree with me, a lot of the bands that are in the main media, for me, kind of sound the same. Like, they're the same chord progressions, they're the same lyrical content, the same rhymes. The rhymes are very common, like true, you, me, we, like just very common things. That's just my opinion. People can disagree with it, and I'm fine with that. But I think we've just gotten used to hearing the same thing.
Do you think it's overproduced?
Oh, 100%. I think a lot of music is overproduced, but where I'm seeing a lot of shining stars in the sense of like people actually getting passionate, it's in the indie scene. Mm-hmm. It's in the Glimmers. It's in the Acolytes. These musicians that, one, aren't overproduced, but two, they're bringing something new to the table, or they're highlighting early influences and translating it into their own voice. Mm-hmm. That's what gets me excited.
I just interviewed an artist earlier today, and I told him that the worst grade I got in high school was in drawing. The second was ceramics, because I was making inappropriate things. And but third would have been, historically growing up, was music. I'm no Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, for sure. But did you guys have a big interest in that in school, or anything like band, or I don't know, you know, college or anything, but music history, or what's your background there?
So yeah. I pretty much was involved in music in some way since I was like 4 or 5, whether it's like church music or
child prodigy, huh?
I was not great. Like I was good, but I wasn't fantastic. And like my thing in high school was I was a chorus kid and a theater kid. Like musical theater was all I cared about. I did not go to college for musical theater at all. But I've always just been interested in like showmanship. I can barely play guitar. Like I learned during the pandemic, but I've always been like super appreciative, I guess, of music, people who can do music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, I also come from that theater choir background. I come from a family with a lot of music. I actually went to school a little bit for music. I'm still a musician and do a lot of singing, songwriting as well on the side. But yeah, music has always been embedded for my journey, has always been embedded in me, whether it was through my dad and my mom, who are both musicians, or my cousins. All three of my immediate cousins went to school for music. So it's just always something I've been surrounded with.
Besides just loving podcasting, right? Because you could tell you both do. What is your ultimate goal and objective besides setting out and informing people of historical figures in music that are significant, whether it be minorities or not? What is your ultimate goal for the podcast? Are you just winging it and, hell, I'm just having fun living by the day?
I think there's like
kind of that.
A good,
you didn't get into it for money, right? I mean,
no, we're not in this for money. I think for me, it is a lot of always finding that story. It is historical facts. There is an element of that. But for me, where I get a lot of fulfillment for the podcast is bringing a perspective that the media has told us one thing, or history has shown one thing, and correcting that. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, we did Amy Winehouse recently. And, you know, like I look back at the 2000s when I was going to middle school and high school, and just the constant media just saying how much of a wreck she was and she caused this. Well, we look back in hindsight with a lot more mental health awareness and a lot more, you know, kindness, I would say, media finally being held accountable for that. And you look at her story and you see the story of a girl, a woman, I should say, rather, who was always talented, but really just wanted to sing jazz, really just wanted to play at small clubs, but it was forced upon her. And that just drove her insane and drove her to really bad coping mechanisms. But the media was never held accountable for their role that they played in her story. And, you know, I love those stories, even though they're sad, because I want to serve a reminder that, you know, we need to correct some things in history, the way we're remembering people.
Oh, absolutely. That's great. And it's obviously your guys' thing, right? It's a part of your friendship, which is super cool and makes it real. I do want to take another second here to talk about the sponsor of this podcast, Good Pods.
Like I mentioned earlier in the intro, you can see what podcasts your friends and influencers are listening to. This app is great, and the creators and Team Good Pods are very serious about making you the greatest listening experience for podcasts, not only just the quality of the audio listening piece, but also the social aspect. This is a really awesome app. I can't suggest it enough. I'm very involved in there. They're very dedicated to podcasters, independent podcasters, and listeners. I have a couple groups on there you should go check out. The Indie Podcasters group, Highlight Indie Podcasters, obviously. I've also recently created a True Crime group. I'm a big True Crime fan. You should join both of those groups. And every week, we do pick podcasts out of the Indie Podcasters group to highlight in the recommended section. But once again, I'll say it again, the Good Pods team is a great team of people. I can personally vouch for them, but they're also dedicated to making this app as good as possible. You can talk to them on social media directly. They will respond. They take all recommendations very serious. There's a great team at Good Pods. Make sure you download the Good Pods app and listen to your podcast there. Let's get back to the interview.
It wouldn't be the same if I just said, hey, you, let's start a podcast, and you and I were doing it. You can tell it's your guys' chemistry and it's real. I know that you're active on Twitter. We obviously see each other there. What are some other indie podcasts that you just idolize, and was there a podcast that's maybe bigger that you listened to before that kind of motivated you to start?
Before we started podcasting, I pretty much just listened to like your Wondery podcasts, like the big ones that Spotify suggests to you.
Business and Wars.
My Favorite Murder. Yeah. But then I've only recently revived our Twitter a month ago, maybe. I found so many great little niche shows just doing like review swaps and just, you know, the little promo stuff.
Because I remember, I think I retweeted one of your review swap things, and it was like, I was copied on all the replies, and I was like, oh my goodness. So obviously you're well liked.
I was overwhelmed. I was like, okay, we'll get like 3 people to reply. I think I had 25 podcasts that I listened to and reviewed. But I really hit it off with Podcast Wars. I'm actually going to be on their show, I guess, later in this month. I don't remember when that is. I really love what they're doing. It's like the most unique.
You said, what was it? Podcast Wars? Playlist Wars.
Your game.
Clearly,
we're in the same circle, right? I know who you're talking about. I talked to them. Yeah, I know.
Promise I know their name. And then like last week I discovered, well, that's interesting. They kind of do the weird news podcast that I wanted to do. They do theirs twice a week. I don't know how the heck they do it. Props to them for doing that many and editing that many. Mm-hmm. But every episode both intrigues and scares me. It's like there's a story today where a girl went to use her inhaler and inhaled an earring into her lung. Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh. I'm obsessed with this show because it's fascinating. They're not all scary like that, though.
That brought me back to a story. I was told in full mech class. I have to insert this. It's going to bother me if I don't. Where my teacher told me about a friend she had in college that was like putting something like on the wall with tacks and swallowed the tacks. And he had eat bread and milk to like not, you know, tear apart his. Yeah, he's fine. No. He's fine. You can cut that out if you want. But that's what reminded me of that story. I heard that story in 6th grade and it stuck with me and scared me. I don't know why she's telling us these stories.
Middle school teachers are weird.
They tell like things that I'm like, oh, okay, I'm never going to put tacks in my mouth. Wasn't planning on it, but thank you.
I used to have a cat that would like find a tack when I was little, and he would carry it to like locations where I would step on it. That's what I thought, at least. Hell, he probably dropped them anywhere, but I was convinced that son of a bitch was planting them there for me to step on.
Probably. I wouldn't put it past it.
Probably.
Cats are always trying
to murder you.
That's true.
And then third podcast that I've recently discovered that I love is Mimosa Sisterhood. She's kind of like the Us, but with all women's history. She has a special, like a guest host each episode, and they each tell the story of one amazing woman in history. And I've binged several of those in the last couple of days.
When I got on Twitter, I was like, hey, I'm just going to start reviewing. I really didn't like intend to make a podcast. I had like a podcast forever ago. It wasn't really my intent to get back into it, but I was like, hey, I'm going to review podcasts and I'm going to network with podcasts. it was so overwhelming. And I was like, hey, who wants a podcast review? And next thing you know, within days, I've got hundreds of people talking to me. And it was just like, I'm going to try to do like 25 a week. I couldn't even do 25 a week and work, you know, it was tough.
Yeah.
Then I was like, what else can I do to try to help that and do something more exciting and fun? That's how I kind of came up with the concept of this podcast, Indie Podcaster. There's just so many people, thousands now that I've talked to that have these small independent podcasts just getting started out. And I've met some bigger ones too, but there are so many. And it's just interesting because a lot of them tell me like, hey, podcast father, it's amazing what you've done. Like since I've met all these new people or I've had more people listen to the podcast or whatever. And you guys are a part of that where you could see the social interaction piece really grow. I've only been online for less than 2 months, but as of this recording, but you guys are also some of those pods where I've seen where the social, your social aspect has got way bigger than it was when I first started talking to you.
Yeah. I don't know why I slept on Twitter for so long. I think because it was overwhelming.
Like
Instagram makes sense to me. I spent a lot of time on Instagram, like personally. And so I was like, well, we'll focus here first. And then Facebook's kind of an afterthought at this point because no one's on Facebook anymore. But then I don't know what it was. One day I was like, you know what? I'm going to revive our Twitter. I'm bored, apparently. I need more things to do. And so I rejoined and I was like, whoa, it's gotten cool over here. Like, who are all these cool podcasts that I've never seen before?
Yeah.
And then I think, I don't know, someone tagged your account in that. And I was like, wow, there's like a lot of indie podcasts out here right now.
I try to talk to a lot of them. It gets a little mixed up sometimes, but you definitely stood out.
How you handle the notifications. Because one morning I woke up to 42 notifications and I was like, I don't know how to respond to this.
This is why I love being the editor. I look, I'm like, oh, there's 20 Instagram. Here you go, Leah.
I mute them late. Because what's happened is I made a podcast account for my podcast and I'm getting double notified because I'll copy it on something. Next thing I know, I'm like, I'll wake up to 100 and I've definitely muted it. At night, I've actually got it muted during the day. I just check it, you know, because it does get a bit overwhelming, but that's not a bad thing. You get to connect with all these independent creators, right? And it's been awesome because I've connected with people that aren't even podcast artists and other things. You know that they're not going to be listening to your podcast all the time. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to just have a bunch of followers. On Twitter, it's fine, but I'm talking audience followers who are literally just podcasters.
Yeah.
And you definitely have a podcast that's unique. And that seems to be something that once you find that group of people that want it, it could really work.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. What I've enjoyed about our journey so far is the community of women podcasters. So we've been able to network with and gotten to know, you know, it's so great when you just have creators that aren't working against each other.
Yeah.
And instead are working with each other. Like it's I feel like we finally have come to this point in time where, you know, it's not about competition. It's about creativity.
Right.
I feel like even 2 years ago when we started the podcast, it was kind of cutthroat in the music podcast space. Like everyone there was an expert. And if you didn't live through the 70s and 80s, then why are you having a podcast on music you didn't live through? But I think maybe those podcasts died or something because I haven't seen them since.
Yeah.
We'll segue into this. We're going to call it Father Time, you know, podcast father. That's funny, right? What is next? What is the goal? What goals do you guys have for the podcast? What would you like to see? Are there milestones that you're really close to and you'd like to see happen?
We're going to hit 50 main episodes like in a month or two. I don't know where we're at. We're at 44, I think.
Right around there,
We're almost to 50 main episodes, but we have like 68 total episodes with the interviews or every other week.
Every other week, okay. And it hasn't been that way since the beginning?
Yeah, we've only taken like 3 weeks off at the beginning of the pandemic because we were like, what is happening? Is the world ending? But other than that, we have never missed a deadline because we are very punctual people.
We're marketers.
Well, you made it onto the meeting in time, unlike me. So that's a good
You're good.
You're the second person to call us out this week on being early to the Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were early. I wouldn't know. Hell, I was late. I was there like 3 minutes after, so. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
We kind of have a goal to release 100 total episodes, like bonus content, everything by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We are very much on track. But I mean, it's June, so we have 6 more months to do 30 more pieces of content. And we have like one every other, like the bye weeks are already full through August. So
yeah,
it's very doable.
And you're sharing. So like what's basically happened is I've listened to a few episodes, but so one of you is picking up a subject and kind of playing play by play as you're going through it. And the other is like the commentator. So you're switching off on who's doing that. The kind of, it probably helps you not get burnt out too, right? Knowing that you're both, you're kind of taking turns, not just one. Cause what I've seen with a lot of podcasts is you have one person that, I don't want to say doing the heavy lifting because everybody has their part, but one person's doing like 90% of the talking and the other person just chimes in, which works great for some podcasts, but it has to take its toll as well.
Yeah, it's definitely more sustainable.
Yeah.
I feel like the way we do it, because I mean, we're not only putting out episodes, we're putting out interviews too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from like an editing standpoint, especially like,
can you imagine editing a full episode every week?
No. On top of research and editing, I mean, that would be a very quick burnout if we were releasing like an episode a week.
Well, and like I brought up earlier, you're doing a lot of research and going through the whole career of an artist sometimes. So, I mean, that is a lot of work.
You're
typing it up, you're writing it down, somebody's doing something.
Oh yeah. Well, it's 10 pages every single month.
Yeah.
It's a 10 page outline. You know, Leah, who's the good AP student among us, will sometimes cram a book that's like 400 pages in like a week. No, you've done it twice.
Okay.
I've counted.
I'm a really fast reader. Okay?
She's a really fast reader. Whereas me, I lean more towards documentaries. And
you read this like the finger. Yeah. Like, is that how you read?
I kind of have to like, I'll do articles and I'll like expand the text really big. So I just, anyway, but yeah, we want to make sure our episodes have a lot of care, a lot of research. I like to make sure all the facts are as right as I can get them, which is harder than you think it is.
Yeah.
Like I've had episodes where I'm like going between Wikipedia and then the actual official, like, biography page and then another official biography page put out by like biography.com, and there's inconsistencies across all three.
Yep.
Well, so you like, said it earlier. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You said it earlier, but people write history how they want sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very true.
And we do try to take like an as unbiased as we can be approach. There are some artists that we just develop a bias towards.
Or if you ask the Clash fans, I didn't even ream on them though. I was gracious.
We have gotten some hate mail on how we have treated some bands.
Yeah.
Maybe been elevated beyond where they should have been elevated. Our only piece of hate mail ever was from our Bing Crosby episode because we pointed out that he was an abuser and one of his fans did not like that.
I'm telling you, it had to be like a 500 word review.
It was a novel in our
and
inbox.
Two emails. Like he did not want to give up this subject. And personally, I don't have enough energy in me to debate someone on Bing Crosby. Like, it's not in my repertoire of things I look forward to doing.
So we just ignored it.
Yeah, we just ignored it.
We do try to I feel like sometimes there's a narrative with artists that are, when there's a male telling the story, there's one narrative.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at it through a millennial female lens, we're like, that was problematic. They probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And so we'll either call it out or explain like, this is why they shouldn't have done this thing. Like the Clash, they had a lot of Nazi tie-ins that probably they shouldn't have had in 1970s.
Right. Like it made sense to the 1970s punk scene because they wanted to be anarchist, but it does not make sense when you leave those circles. And my commentary to that is think legacy. When you're naming things, think legacy.
Yeah.
Don't think 70s UK punk.
So we try to be unbiased to an extent.
Yeah.
Well, society has obviously changed and what's acceptable has changed. And if you don't highlight those things, you'll never learn from your mistakes, right?
Absolutely.
You meaning, you know, society in general.
some of the best, like there's a YouTube channel I watch a lot, and I also bring him in for research, like his content. His name's Punk Rock MBA. He does great pieces of like talking through punk rock music, metal, 2000s emo. But what's important is he always has an opinion on something, and you can disagree with opinions. That's beauty of, you know, being human. But I think it's important when you see things to have an opinion on it and throw it out there. Mm-hmm. Not just this event happened. All right, next. This event happened. All right, next.
Yeah. And it makes it funnier too. In our case.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the humor piece definitely is big, right? You know, I mean, it's hard to just go out there and have no personality and be dry. I mean, who wants that, right?
No one's listening to that.
No
one wants that crap. So let me ask you one more thing, because this is, I've actually been wondering this since you guys submitted the request for the interview. Do you have like a big collection of records, cassettes, CDs? Tell me about that. And then segue into, what do you buy today? Do you just go to iTunes and go all digital? Or do you try to keep some traditional touch to music by CDs when they're there? Or tell me about that.
I have a decent record collection. I'd say like 25 records. They are very expensive.
They are.
Yeah.
I specifically like colored vinyl, which is, of course, slightly more expensive sometimes. But I'm a Spotify premium person just because it's so mobile. Yeah. And I hate that about myself, but it's just so mobile.
I knew when I asked you that, and if you were going to answer, I'm just going to say digital, but Spotify,
yeah.
You were going to feel like remorseful about it, like feel bad. Because I do too, right?
Okay. I feel about it every day, but
I literally listen to music. The biggest time I listen to music is on my commute.
Yeah.
That's where I really take in my music. How the hell am I going to bring in my Victrola to my car? Like, I'm sorry. That's not going to happen.
Let me get out my CD book.
Yeah. Going back, let me grab my mixtape I made on a CD in 2007. Yeah. I'm kind of weird. I listen to it a lot on Spotify. That is like a given. But if an album actually has significance to me, I will buy it on vinyl. So like, if you look.
So what defines significance to you though?
This is behind me on the record stand is okay. Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, because I have been on an Amy kick, but I think her story was so impactful on my life. And that album, after going back and listening to it, became really impactful. I had to get it on vinyl. And then I have, to kind of answer your question, like albums that have a significance or I feel speak to my journey. So I have a original copy of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. That's like one of my treasures. And then I have Janis Joplin's Pearl, because she's one of my absolute favorite artists of all time. And then I have some Motown records. I just, you know, some records I raided from my mom's, you know, cupboard that she still has.
Yeah.
But a lot of like what I buy today, there has to be a significance to it for me. That artist or album has to speak to my journey.
I feel like with like newer artists, like when the Struts had their new record come out, I actually bought multiple copies because I'm a huge fan anyway. But I was like, this makes up for all the times I'm going to stream you on Spotify for the next like 10 years. So please take my money and I'm sorry.
Yeah. I also buy a lot of t-shirts. That is one area, especially for smaller artists.
Yeah.
I will buy a t-shirt in 2 seconds.
How many t-shirts would you say you have?
I have at least
a lot. 25.
Yeah, 30. Mine's probably about there, 20, 25.
Wear them every day of the week?
Sometimes, I mean, honestly, it's a weekend thing. It's like, grab a t-shirt, grab some ripped jeans and
what band? I'm still living in bands. In the 2008 aesthetic of band shirt, ripped jeans and checkered Vans.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Black with the white striped Vans.
Nice. The people oblivious would call it the Hot Topic look or something.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not the damn Hot Topic look.
I was not allowed to dress like that when I really wanted to in high school because my mom wouldn't let me. So now I dress that way.
My mom wouldn't let me either, but my brother would sneak me in. So yeah.
Hey, Hot Topic was a lot scarier in 2008.
It was.
Yeah,
that's true.
I agree. There weren't as many lighthearted things going on in there.
No, there was no Disney merchandise.
Would you like this Cannibal Corpse t-shirt or would you like this Lamb of God album with a pentagram on it? Which one would you like?
Black Parade merch. Do you want to be wearing death on your chest?
Do you think as time passes, we just talked about CDs and records and vinyl. Is that stuff important for generations to come? Or is that going to be completely lost for, you know, your children or your friends? You know what I'm saying? For people that are younger, is that significant part of musical history that needs to remain, do you think? Or is it just met its time?
Seems to really be into vinyl. I spent a lot of time on TikTok as well. And they are like fascinated by the concept of a cassette player.
They are.
Urban Outfitters just started selling them for some strange reason. And there have been several videos of people not knowing how to use them, which is hilarious to
me. A cassette player?
Yeah.
I tell you, I got a car, this forever ago now. I was pissed that it had a, I had to buy one of those stupid adapters to make it a CD.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a cassette player. Why?
Yeah. We had that in our minivan.
My very first car had that, my Saturn.
Now there's not even CD players, right? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, my new car, I have a 2020 and it does not have a CD player. But it connects to my phone on Bluetooth automatically. So what more could you want?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Gen Z has some weird aesthetic stuff going on. And I love that for them. But they're very into like physically owning music.
I'm just wondering when the iPod is going to make it shuffle back in. And I did not mean to make that a pun, but I'm very glad it came out it's that way. But yeah, I mean, because it seems like music, like fashion, cycles, you know, we started with vinyls and like the 2010s came back. Now cassettes, tapes, you know, that's we're up to 80s and the 90s. 2020 will be, we're in 2020.
We're all going to have
2030. Yeah, we'll be Walkman. So I'm hoping by the 2040s, I want to see some chunky iPods come back with a broken wheel.
Hey, the iPod
has to be a broken wheel that you have to fuss with.
The iPod video, I had one. I was like 13, and that was glued to me. It was the predecessor to my iPhone because I never did not have that thing on my person.
Yeah,
because you could put so much music on it. It was awesome. Now that you just stream it,
kids don't know the joy of hiding the wired headset and study hall. Like you had to get the hood up. You had to like, if you had long hair, just tuck it there, tuck it through. Then you kind of like hide it under your shirt. Today they just have, you know, AirPod and they're golden.
And they have Spotify. You don't
and
have
they
to
have
use
Spotify.
LimeWire to download some each album song by song.
It took work to do illegal music in school. That's all I'm saying. Like,
but you change the file names to hide music you weren't supposed to be listening to.
That is true.
You can't do that on Spotify.
True.
Our God is an awesome God. All screaming.
That's a true love for music. And I think that's kind of like my ending point for this interview is we've talked about all these different things, but one thing that can keep the history of music alive is what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's sharing the stories, making sure people realize that and don't get lost in just all the new things coming out. So I think it's awesome what you both are doing. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate you taking the time to have this interview with me.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're so happy to do it.
Yeah.
Keep in touch for sure. This has been awesome. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Really do appreciate you listening to this episode and checking it out. I hope you continue to do so with the next. I hope you have an appreciation for what I'm trying to do here. Highlight all the different things, all sorts of different creators are doing. I hope you get behind me on that and continue to join me on my journey. I'm Podcast Father, the Indie Podcaster. See you next time.